Well, this is just a couple days ago on Friday, as the earth tilted a little farther away from the sun passed over the equator, we recognized the season of fall, or autumn as some people call it. The sun dips farther into the southern sky. It's a time of year for many people where the beauty around them just literally fills them with joy. It's a revelation of God's creative power and His presence all around us. But for some people, it's not so great a time. It sort of ushers in the beginning of a period of time signifying that darker days are ahead, cold, dark days, when the foliage will be gone from the trees, the days will be shorter, and statistically, depression rises. Human beings. We have many different seasons throughout our year. Some people will say that they love to live in an area where there's changing seasons. People say to me, well, I don't really like change in my life. Yes, we do. We all like change, whether we want to admit it or not. We have electric lights. We have cars that we drive with rubber tires and so on and so forth. We don't live in caves anymore. We do like change. We like the changing seasons. And in each one of those seasons, God reveals Himself in different ways to us, to speak to us differently. How can we appreciate the spring without the winter? How can we appreciate the summer without the spring and the flowers unfolding? And then summer comes along and it's real hot and it's sticky, and all of a sudden we say, wow, I had enough of this. I'm ready for cool, and here comes fall, you see. So I thought about that this past week. I thought about how the seasons that we live through and observe are a lot like the spiritual seasons of our lives. And in a Christian's life, there are spiritual seasons. Many people turn to Christianity thinking that if I become a Christian, all my problems will be solved. I won't have problems. Life will be easier, and we know that's not true. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. What the Bible does tell us is that life is going to still be hard. It's just, as a Christian, we're not alone. We have somebody walking with us, a greater strength and a greater power to help us overcome all those problems in our lives. The Christian life is like this. You see, it's like this. And we go on those high mountain peaks where everything's going great, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in the deep, deep, dark valley. Well, how can we appreciate the mountaintop unless we go through the valley? It's called perseverance that we need. Perseverance. And what happens, we become very spiritually exhausted. You know what I'm talking about. Those things that come at us every single day, every single week, like waves of the sea. They just keep coming on. And we say, I didn't need this. I didn't need one more thing in my life. I wasn't ready for this, as if I needed one more thing. They just keep coming at us, and we become spiritually exhausted because of it. It zaps the strength from within the depths of our souls. It makes us sick to our stomachs. It depresses us. And all of a sudden, we start to lose focus, and we start to lose our strength, you see. So what we really, truly need is relief from all that. We need peace. We need strength. We need renewal, refreshment. The Bible is full of that coming from God, you see. Sadly, we're on this quest in our culture to seek out ways to give us those things that we really need. Oh, we're finding their dead-end roads, you know. I like the sign out front this morning. It says, peace is not absence of trouble, it's presence of God. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying in the text this morning. We all are dealing with something right now. I've really been floored in the past few months of the troubles that have come on the people in our parish. Everything from health issues, financial issues, the death of a loved one, emptiness inside, relational issues, work-related issues, all these kinds of things. What are we doing? We're traveling through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping and troubles, aren't we? We're wrestling and struggling. And I'm finding out, folks, we're getting tired. I found myself the other day in prayer, just praying to God, I need a break. I need a break, God. We need a break. You know, it's okay to do that. It's okay to do that. God wants us to cry out to Him in our prayer time. This psalm that was written by the sons of Korah does a couple things here in the Word of God. First of all, it acknowledges what we can gain from that relationship. Being in the presence of God, literally having that relationship with God, speaking to Him, praying to Him, reading His Word, and knowing that He's right beside us every single day. And secondly, it's giving us the prayer of the psalm writer that kind of gives us a model for our prayer and reminds us that the best place for us to be is in the presence of the Lord. The writer says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. How lovely is your dwelling place." What he's saying here is, how lovely is this place where you are, wherever you are, Lord, in your presence is such a lovely place. In fact, so much so that my soul, to the depths of my soul, I yearn and even faint to be in your presence, in your courts. I desire that. I need that. I need to be in your presence. I yearn to be there. And as my soul yearns to be in your presence, my heart and my flesh cry out for you, living God. In other words, what he's saying is here that this, if you need for God, and God's peace is so strong and it's so deep inside him that it literally alters his actions, the way he lives, to the point he cries out physically and verbally to God. You want to pray a powerful prayer, go somewhere by yourself in a closet, out in the woods, wherever you want. Just cry out to God verbally. It doesn't matter who hears you. Just let it all out. And give it over to God. Let it be part of who you are and what you do. He says, so much so do I yearn for you that my heart and my flesh cry out for you. Because even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she can have her young, a place near your altar. He's saying that even the birds know this. They know that there's a safe place where they can lay their eggs, where they'll be protected and provided for near your altars. I'm thinking the psalmist is probably standing in the temple at this point, looking around, probably maybe was inspired by the birds flying in and out of the temple and saying, even the birds know that they're safe in the presence of the Lord. The Lord Almighty, my King. Well, I love it. What powerful words. My King. Not Lord Almighty, King. My King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Those who dwell, he knows full well, those who dwell in the presence of the Lord are blessed, and they have reason to praise God despite the trials and tribulations of their lives. He says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Now, as they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping and trouble, they make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength until each one of them appears before God in Zion. What he's talking about here is he's acknowledging that those people are blessed who find strength in the Lord and turn to the Lord for strength and have set their hearts on this purpose, this pilgrimage of always turning to the Lord, passing through their time of weeping and troubles. They're always turning to the Lord. They've made a commitment in their hearts that I'm not going to turn away, I'm going to stay focused, and I'm going to keep turning back to the Lord. Because when I do, wherever I am, whatever valley I'm in, is going to be a place of springs and going to be refreshed as the autumn rains refresh the land. In fact, so much so, they go from strength to strength till each one appears before God in Zion. Throughout that journey, that spiritual season of life, ups and downs and ups and downs, they trust in God, they go from strength to strength until finally they stand in the presence of Almighty God. Now, I want to stop there a little bit. because the psalmist had just acknowledged the benefits of being in the presence of God. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in our troubles. They so overwhelm us that we forget that. We forget to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God's in control. I know that God's trying to do something here. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to trust in God. On this journey I'm going through, I'm going to trust in God because He's going to provide, and I'm going to go from strength to strength. Strength to strength. You ever feel like that's what your life is like? Just one thing right after another. The waves keep pounding at you. You know, today we boast in our own strength and we trust in ourselves. The psalmist is saying we need to boast in the Lord and trust in the Lord when we're on these journeys, when we find ourselves in these dark places. He says, as he goes into a prayer, hear my prayer, O Lord God. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And when you notice the writing here, he's talking about Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not all the other gods of the world that people are turning to. He makes it specific who he is praying to and who it is he's talking about. Look upon our shield, look with favor on your anointed one, speaking of their king of that day. Then he acknowledges, even if I have one good day, better is one day in your presence than 1,000 everywhere else. If I have one good day, Lord, I'm going to praise you, and that's what I'm going to focus on. Because I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God, in the presence of the Lord, than dwell with all the riches and all the things I could ever want in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and bestows favor and honor. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. Remember I talked about we need solar energy, solar strength. We need our souls restored and renewed. That can only come from the Lord God. We think about the sun as being something that it burns brighter than anything we know, and we think of it as infinitely burning, that it never goes out. It's there day after day after day. It's persistent, it's consistent, it's bright, it's powerful, and it gives life to the earth. And he's comparing God, saying God is a sun, the one who provides the ray of hope, and not only that, he's the shield who protects us and knows our needs. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we hear the commands to remember God's past dealings. You look at the Old Testament. If there's anybody that was ever troubled, people who had more trouble than you could shake a stick at, it was God's people in the Old Testament. Time after time, He was bailing them out. He was saving them. Time after time, they kept getting in trouble, but He never gave up on them. Why? Because He had a covenant with them. It says in Deuteronomy, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, because it's He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to you and your forefathers as He has today. You see, our strength isn't based on ourselves. When we're zapped from the energy of facing these battles every single day, our strength isn't going to come from us. It isn't going to come from the world. It's going to come from turning to Almighty God and putting ourselves in His presence. You see, putting ourselves in His presence. I was thinking of Gideon in Judges chapter 7. How many of you remember the story of Gideon? Gideon had an army of men, and he was supposed to defeat the enemy. See, he was going after the enemy with this army. And he turned to the Lord, had all these men. But the problem was, he had too many men. You know, if you'd want to defeat the enemy, you'd want a big army, wouldn't you? He had too many men. God says, no. No. I want you to turn back certain people. Anyone who trembles with fear can turn back and leave. 22,000 men left. while 10,000 remained. God kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down and narrowing it down. What did they have in the end? 300 men. They went in with 300 men and defeated the enemy. Not by Gideon's power and strength, but by God's strength. In Isaiah chapter 31, God warns God's people not to seek help from the other nations. Israel made those mistakes when they were getting in trouble and they were threatened in war. They would run to their neighbors, pagan neighbors, and ask for help. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll take care of you. That's what got them in a lot of trouble, and eventually that's one of the reasons they went into captivity. Bad decisions, bad choices, turning away from God. Now, the good news, folks, is, and we're going to have these seasons in life. We're going to have trouble. That's just the way it is until someday we reach the eternal city. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have pain. We're going to have suffering. The good news is we have power and strength in us, but not of ourselves, but of the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in us. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send you another advocate, not only one to be with you, but one to be in you. The Spirit of truth that will teach you all things and give you strength. We have the power inside us, the strength inside us, if we just turn there to that power source and that strength. Deep in our souls, we have that solar energy and strength to renew us, to re-strengthen us, to make us mount up in wings like eagle's wings, as Isaiah says. In Colossians chapter 1, if I can find it quickly, we're encouraged by God's word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul's praying for them. He said, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Why does God allow us to get our knees skinned? Give us strength and encouragement and trust in the Lord. Why do we go through these things? And isn't that the question? Why, God? Why, God? Why do you allow these seasons? Why are you allowing this tribulation? And it's okay to ask God that. Don't blame God, but it's okay to ask God. I found myself, as I've matured spiritually, not to ask God why, but to ask God, what is it that you're trying to teach me here? What is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to change in my life here that you're allowing this to happen? Because God allows them for good, you see. He allows these things for good. And we have to understand, folks, as Winston Churchill said, we will never give up whatever the cost may be. We cannot let the trials and tribulations of life that we're going through, whether it's financial, whether you've lost a loved one, whether you're having relational problems, marital problems, problems in the church, health problems, whatever it is, we cannot give up on God. We have got to keep pushing forward, trusting as we go through the valley of Baca of weeping and tears and suffering that someday we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. And Paul said that this life is nothing compared with what awaits us in glory. The suffering and the present trials that we face is incomparable with His riches and glory that He has waiting for us. Through the years of my motorcycle racing, and many of you know the type of racing I did was endurance racing, cross-country races, some of them 4 hours, 5 hours long, 100 miles. Very, very exhausting along that way. But you know something? The trophies that I have are not of my own, because I I was very committed, even though I may not have been in church on Sunday morning, to prayer Sunday mornings, giving my life to the Lord each Sunday before I climbed on that motorcycle. Acknowledging that my success was from the Lord, giving glory to the Lord when I did have success, and never giving up, persevering, endurance. Was I tired? Was I beaten? Was I battered? Absolutely, I got scars to show it. But those scars are the things that remind us of God's grace in our lives. When we set and write up a list of all the things that happened last week that we just didn't need in our life, last month, last year, last 5 years, last 10 years, I didn't need any of this, I didn't want any of this, I didn't expect any of this, and we go over here and we sit down and stop for a moment and think of all the good things that have happened and look back on all those things and say, gee, I'm still here, aren't I? Gee, I'm still here. Did I learn anything from all that? Yes, I did. I learned a lot. I learned that God is in control of our lives. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's all that we need in our struggles. Are we going to get bloodied? Are we going to get battered? Absolutely, because that's what life here on earth is. But we cannot give up, because enduring and persevering with patience, turning to the Lord, putting ourselves in His presence, commending ourselves to His care, always brings victory. Redemption is not just something that happens when we die. It happens day after day after day after day in our lives, because the Lord has promised you and I He would see us through. That's called a covenant, and He's a covenant-keeping God. Let me share one quick illustration with you, and then I'm done. Yesterday, I was down to the river with my friend who had bought this used special little boat that sits real low in the water. It's used for duck hunting, so you can sneak down the river and duck hunting. And, of course, he had to try it out yesterday. So we went to the river with this boat, and not knowing whether it leaked at all or not, we put it in the river and we climbed in and we floated around where we had been duck hunting last winter. Now, when we were there last winter, the river was higher. It was turbulent, full of tribulation. It was murky. You couldn't see the bottom. And on a dark, cold winter morning, that was terrifying to me, especially when I fell into it one morning. And I said to my friend, the first thing I want to do is see what it's like to fall out of this boat so I know what to expect. But as we went yesterday, the river was calm. We were on the hilltop. The river was calm. It was a beautiful time. Things were going well. The river was calm. It was clear. We could see the bottom, which was only about 3 or 4 feet deep. And you could see the stones on the bottom. And you could see the fish swimming in it. It was absolutely beautiful. And I remember those winter days when we'd be down there and the river would be terrifying. You couldn't see the bottom. You could see the turbulence in the water. You couldn't see the fish. How scared I was. But I realized the river isn't 100 feet deep. You know? And I realized that the bottom isn't muddy and soft, it's going to suck me down to eternity. You see? And it helped me appreciate God's presence in our lives in those turbulent times when we fall into the river on a cold winter morning. You see? God gives us these seasons of life to help us grow in our faith and our trust, that we might turn to Him. Good Lord, folks, don't give up on Him. If there's any time that we need to trust in God more than ever, it's right now. I know we're going through a lot of troubles. I know that we have a lot of heartaches and headaches, a lot of aches and pains, a lot of bad prognosis. that we just simply don't want to hear. Little Ella. But folks, we have a higher power. We have solar energy. And he's the Lord God of Jacob, of Abraham and Isaac. The God who time after time after time after time after time beyond is going to save his people. That's his promise. Let's pray.